ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 3 द बर्थ ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्णा टेक्स्ट 46। श्री शुक उवाच इति उपासीधरिस्तूष्णीं भगवान् आत्ममायया पित्रोः सम्पश्यतोः सद्यो बभूव प्राकृतः शिशुः। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Shukadev Goswami said, after thus instructing His father and mother, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna remained silent. In their presence, by His internal energy, He then transformed Himself into a small human being, a human child. In other words, he transformed himself into his original form, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 6, Sambhavam Yatma Mayaya. Whatever is done by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is done by His spiritual energy. Nothing is forced upon Him by the material energy. This is the difference between the Lord and an ordinary living being. The Vedas say, Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate Svabhaviki Jnana Balakriyacha Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6.8. It is natural for the Lord to be untinged by material qualities. And because everything is perfectly present in His spiritual energy, as soon as He desires something, it is immediately done. The Lord is not a Prakrita Shishu, a child of this world. But by His personal energy, He appeared like one. Ordinary people may have difficulty accepting the Supreme Controller, God, as a human being because they forget that He can do everything by spiritual energy, Atma Mayaya. Non-believers say, how can the Supreme Controller descend as a human being? This sort of thinking is materialistic. Srila Jiva Goswami says that unless we accept the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as inconceivable, beyond the conception of our words and mind, we cannot understand the Supreme Lord. Those who doubt that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can come as a human being and turn Himself into a human child are fools who think that Krishna's body is material, that He is born and that He therefore also dies. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 4th chapter, verses 28 and 29, there is a description of Krishna's leaving His body. Maharaj Parikshit inquired from Shukadev Goswami, when all the members of the Yadu dynasty met their end, Krishna also put an end to Himself. And the only member of the family who remained alive was Uddhava. How was this possible? Shukadev Goswami answered that Krishna, by His own energy, destroyed the entire family. and then thought of making his own body disappear. In this connection, Shukadev Goswami described how the Lord gave up his body. But this was not the destruction of Krishna's body. Rather, it was the disappearance of the Supreme Lord by his personal energy. Actually, the Lord does not give up his body, which is eternal. But as he can change his body from the form of Vishnu to that of an ordinary human child, he can change his body to any form he likes. This does not mean that he gives up his body. By spiritual energy, the Lord can appear in a body made of wood or stone. He can change his body into anything, because everything is his energy. Parasi Shakti Vividhaiva Shruyate. As clearly said in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 4, Bhinna Prakriti Rashtadha. The material elements are separated energies of the Supreme Lord. If he transforms himself into the Archa Murti, the worshipable deity, which we see as stone or wood, he is still Krishna. Therefore, the Shastra warns, Archya Vishnu Shiladhir Gurushu Naramatihi. One who thinks that the worshipable deity in the temple is made of wood or stone, one who sees a Vaishnava Guru as an ordinary human being, or one who materially conceives of a Vaishnava belonging to a particular caste, is Naraki, a resident of hell. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can appear before us in many forms, as he likes, but we must know the true facts. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 9. By following the instructions of sadhu, guru, and shastra, the saintly persons, the spiritual master, and the authoritative scriptures, one can understand Krishna, and then one makes his life successful by returning home back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. So we are at an important juncture in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Lord Krishna has actually appeared. As we have seen in the verses prior to this, he appeared directly from the heart of Mother Devaki, and externally he appeared as a child with four arms. And if that was not extraordinary enough, when we consider the birth of children of this world, he also came with a head full of hair. And not only that, he came fully clothed and ornamented. And he didn't come out crying. He came out smiling. So, in this verse, Shukadev Goswami is saying that Babhuva Prakritaha Shishuhu, that because his mother and father were a little alarmed and in awe because their little child had four arms and he was exhibiting the opulence of the Supreme Lord, they felt that Kamsa would understand this and come and try to kill this child as well. We all know, of course, that Mother Devaki and Vasudev had to undergo such torture mentally because their six children had been killed mercilessly by Kamsa. So Mother Devaki, looking at this child, could not bear the thought that Kamsa would once again come and try to kill him. So she prayed to Krishna that please take a form as an ordinary child. Don't appear as Lord Vishnu because that will alarm Kamsa and he may come and try to kill you. So Krishna obliged. Babhuva prakritah shishuhu. He became like a prakrita shishu. Prakrita means an ordinary, something of this world. Shishu means a child. But obviously we know from the very beginning that he is not a prakrita shishu, as Srila Prabhupada points out in the purport. First of all, a prakrita shishu or an ordinary child is not born with hair and clothes and ornaments and what to speak of four arms. So right from his very advent, Krishna declared that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the Lord is not so pleased being the Lord. He wants to be the child of somebody. So now he has come as a child of Mother Devaki and Vasudev. He first came as the Lord and then at the request of his mother transformed himself into a child. So Mother Devaki and Vasudev are not as fortunate as Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan. Because in Vrindavan, Krishna was only a lovable child. Even though he performed superhuman activities every now and then, like killing of ferocious asuras, lifting of the Govardhan hill, swallowing of the forest fires on two occasions, and so on. The display of opulence and power, the display of Krishna's godhood, so to speak, did not at all bewilder Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. They never for a moment thought that Krishna was anything but their son. This is the beauty of Vrindavan. But this mood is a little compromised in Mathura. Because in Mathura, Mother Devaki and Vasudev do recognize their child to be the Lord. And then later it is covered over by Krishna's yoga maya. But that understanding, that recognition is there. So this is the difference between Mathura and Vrindavan. So Krishna's appearance like this is always very bewildering. As Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, that he appears by his internal potency, Sambhavami Atma Mayaya. And he refers to the Bhagavad Gita verse, Ajopi Sanyavyayatma Bhutanam Ishvaropisan Prakritim Swamadhishthaya Sambhavam Yatma Mayaya. Krishna says, Ajah Api, even though I am unborn, Ajah, Jah means Janma, one who takes birth, Ajah means unborn. So even though I am unborn, and even though I am the Lord and Master of all the living entities, Bhutanam Ishvaropi San, Prakritim Swamadhishthaya Sambhavami Atmamayaya. When I descend into this material world, I descend in my original spiritual form. I descend through my internal spiritual energy. I do not take a material form. I do not appear like the ordinary living beings of this world who are born with a material body which grows, matures, decays and then dies. I am always spiritual. My body is always spiritual. This is the message Krishna is giving in the Bhagavad Gita. And this is a very fundamental point of understanding who God is. God is ever spiritual. He can never be contaminated or covered over by the material energy as we ordinary living entities are prone to. Krishna is forever on the spiritual platform. And therefore, when Krishna appears as if he is an ordinary child, as if he is an ordinary fish, as if he is an ordinary tortoise, and so on, it is extremely bewildering to people of this world. Therefore, Queen Kunti in the Srimad Bhagavatam has prayed, Janma karma cha vishvatman ajasya karturatmanaha tiryan rishishuyadahasu tad atyanta vidambanam. She says, my dear Krishna, it is very, very bewildering. Tad atyanta vidambanam. Atyanta means extremely, vidambanam is bewildering. That even though you are unborn, you still appear, you still take birth. Ajasya, you are aja, you are unborn, but still you take janma or birth. You are akartuhu, you have no need to perform any karma or any actions, but still you perform karma. So, O soul of the universe, Vishvatman, janma karma cha vishvatman ajasya kartur atmanah. You still appear within the community of beasts, tiryan, nri, within the human society, rishishu, amongst the sages, yadahasu, amongst the aquatics who live in the sea or the rivers. And this is truly very bewildering. How can the Supreme Lord, who is completely spiritual, all-powerful, appear as a tortoise, or as a fish, or as a human for that matter? So Srila Prabhupada explains that the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna is God in all circumstances. In every situation, whatever the particular form in which He appears, whatever the kind of activity that He does, He always remains the Supreme Lord. That never changes. When Krishna was born before Devaki, He was God. When Krishna played His childhood pastimes in Vrindavan, He was God, even though the residents of Vrindavan did not see Him as God. That's a different matter. Because their love was so powerful that they only considered Krishna as their child or their friend and so on. But the fact remains that He still was God. And the proof for that, Srila Prabhupada explains, is that even as a child who was merely a few days old, He killed a fierce Rakshasi like Putana. Generally, a child who is only a few days old is helpless, physically, mentally, intellectually, very weak. But Krishna's prowess, physically, intellectually, or in any way, was never diminished even by an atomic fragment because He was a child. Even as a child, He has all the powers, all the potencies that He did when He was instructing Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra almost 100 years later. Or as He does when He lies down as Mahavishnu in the causal ocean and from the pores of His skin the universes emanate. All these different forms of Krishna are identical. They are all spiritual and they are all omnipotent, all powerful. In the purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada quotes Jiva Goswami as saying that unless one accepts that the Supreme Lord has achintya shakti, inconceivable power, one cannot understand who or what God is. So the fundamental point is that God can do anything. And when He wants to do something, He simply has to desire. That's all. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada quotes again that famous Shvetashvatara Upanishad verse, which He actually quotes very often in His teachings. Parasya shaktir vividhaiva shruyate svabhaviki jnana balakriyacha. Which means, that Paraha, that is the Lord, He has many energies. Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate. He has variegated energies which serve Him for different purposes according to His own sweet will. Svabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyacha. And knowledge and strength and ability and so on automatically come to the Lord. When Krishna wants to do something, He thinks. And His potencies, they act to fulfill that desire. Let there be light, and there was light. That's all. But when we want light, we have to go and switch on the bulb. When Krishna desires something, He doesn't have to make a big plan and then have a big organization to execute the plan, put in so much effort. When we have to do something, we have to do so many other things to fulfill that one thing. But Krishna merely desires. That's it. Amongst the numerous potencies of Krishna, the Acharyas have explained, is one potency that is called Satya Sankalpa Shakti. Sankalpa means determination or wish. So when Krishna determines something that I want to do this, so this Shakti makes it Satya, that Sankalpa Satya, it makes it true, it makes it happen. So if Krishna desires, He wants to be born as the son of Mother Devaki, there are Shaktis that make that happen. They are always waiting ever to serve Krishna. This is the meaning of the Lord, the Supreme Lord. He has infinite potencies that are ever ready to serve Him at all times in all respects. If the Lord is deprived of His omnipotence, then He is not the Lord anymore. So because people do not understand this principle of Achintya Shakti, they get bewildered when they try to analyze the different activities of the Lord. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada in His purport is saying here, ordinary people may have difficulty accepting the supreme control of God as a human being because they forget that He can do everything by His spiritual energy. Non-believers say, how can the supreme controller descend as a human being? This thought of thinking is materialistic. What is impossible for the Lord to do? He can appear out of His own sweet will in His spiritual body, directly clothed and ornamented and smiling from His mother's body. But we cannot do that. So Krishna's appearance and disappearance are transcendental. And of course, there is a famous verse from the Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yo Veti Tatvataha Tyaktva Deham Punarjanma Neti Mameti So Arjuna, where Krishna says that those who understand in truth the divine or transcendental nature of my appearance and activities in this world will never have to take birth again in this world. They will return to me in my abode. So just see, simply by understanding the truth of Krishna, what Krishna is, what is Krishna's birth, what is Krishna's so-called death, what are Krishna's activities, we can go back to the spiritual world and become free from birth and death ourselves. Because there is no difference between Krishna and Krishna's body, Krishna is considered to be absolute. Brahma says, Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Ananta Rupam. So he is Advaita. Srila Prabhupada explains the meaning of the word Advaita as being non-dual, which means there is no duality between his body and soul. But we are not Advaita. There is a difference between our body and the soul. In fact, that is the first thing we learn in Bhagavad Gita, that I am not the body, I am the soul. The duality is the first thing that spiritual knowledge teaches us. But for Krishna, there is no difference between his body and his soul. They are identical. Srila Prabhupada often comments about one well-known philosopher in India a few decades ago who distinguished between Krishna's within and Krishna's without. And Prabhupada says that there is no difference between Krishna's within and Krishna's without, in the sense that there is no difference between the soul and body of Krishna. Krishna's body is all soul. He is all spiritual. His entire body itself is the soul, and his soul is the body. So this is Krishna. And because of that, his appearance and activities are transcendental. Srila Prabhupada also explains in various purports that because Krishna is Satchidananda, he has a transcendental body made of eternity, knowledge and bliss. He never changes his body or quits his body like we do. He simply appears and disappears. The pastime of Krishna taking birth in this world and Krishna apparently of dying in this world is simply because he wants to be in tune with the customs and the methods of this material world. Just like when he appears as a fish, he doesn't walk on the land. He swims in the water. Because a fish is supposed to swim. We don't see fish walking on the water. When he appears as a lion, he roars. Because that's what a lion is supposed to do. When he appears as a tortoise, he acts accordingly. When he appeared as a Hansa avatar, as a swan, he flies. When he appears in human society, therefore he behaves like a human being. As a child is supposed to cry, so he cries. A child is supposed to do some mischief, so he does mischief. So he acts according to the mannerisms that are expected of whatever category of living entity that he seems to appear within. Therefore, people get bewildered, but he retains his identity as God ever. And again, Prabhupada makes an interesting comment. He says, he reserves the right to expose himself to others. In other words, those who have devotion for him, only they can understand factually who he is. Otherwise, Krishna's activities can bewilder people, and such bewilderment is meant to keep away the faithless people. When we study the books like the Srimad Bhagavatam and hear and read the commentaries of the great acharyas like Srila Prabhupada and the predecessor acharyas, then we develop the understanding and faith. We know who Krishna is, what Krishna is. Then we are not bewildered when we hear about his so-called birth, and even more bewildering is his so-called death. And therefore, even though the topic in the verse is Krishna's birth, but in the purport, Srila Prabhupada dedicates quite a big paragraph to Krishna's passing away from this world. In the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj asks Shukadev Goswami, how was it possible that Krishna also passed away? He put an end to all the members of his dynasty, the Yadu dynasty, and then he also passed away. And the only person who was remaining was Uddhava. So how is this possible? And then Shukadev Goswami explains that actually Krishna's passing away, so to speak, his death, is not actually death. And if we go to the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a description of how Krishna passed away or how he departed from this world. Normally, there is a story of Krishna lying down And then the hunter Jara came and he shot an arrow and the arrow hit his toe and because of that Krishna died. So this is the popular story. Even though it may be found in some of the books, we can understand that this is a pastime that is enacted by the Lord's illusory energy for the bewilderment of the faithless. Krishna wants only his loving, faithful devotees to understand him truthfully. Death, what is death? The power of death exists only in the material world. The material world is running under the power of the material energy. The material energy is always under the control of Krishna. Mayadhakshena prakriti suyate sacharachara. Death is only an insignificant expansion of this material potency of the Lord. So how can death affect Krishna? So it only appears for the sake of the faithless that Krishna dies. But when we read the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we will see that Krishna's passing away was quite extraordinary. Not even like the yogis who are self-realized. When the yogis have to leave their body, they meditate upon the Lord and then they leave, their soul leaves the body through the top of the skull, through the opening that is called the Brahma Randhra. And by a certain mystic power, they generate a fire within the body which burns up the body. And while the soul leaves from the top and goes to the spiritual world. But when Krishna sat down, all the demigods came because they knew that the Lord was now going to perform his disappearance pastime. Just as the demigods came and the Lord was in the womb of Devaki, they circumambulated Mother Devaki, offered prayers to the Lord in the womb. Similarly, they came also at the impending departure of Lord Krishna from this world. And each of them, the Acharyas explain, were hoping that Krishna would come to their planet on the way back to the spiritual world. And as they were waiting, Krishna simply disappeared. He just went away like a flash. Just like when a bolt of lightning emerges from a cloud, it is very hard for us to understand what has happened. It just happens so fast, in such a fraction of a second. We are not able to understand how it has happened. Similarly, even the demigods could not understand how the Lord suddenly flashed back to his eternal kingdom. But it is explained that just a few of the demigods, like Brahma and Shiva, could understand how the Lord's potency was working. And they were amazed. And they could only offer their prayers to the Lord and glorify him. So Krishna simply departed along with his, along with Jnana, Dharma and so on. So Krishna did not even have to burn his body like the yogis do. But it was the illusory body, the body that was killed by, or so called, apparently killed by Jara, was another body, an illusory aspect of Krishna's body. But actually Krishna just flashed back to the spiritual world. In the third canto, Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport something very interesting. He quotes Jiva Goswami and says that just like there is a logic of the adjective and the subject. Let me explain what this means. Suppose you say he is a good boy. The boy is the subject and good is the adjective. If you take away the adjective from the subject doesn't change. For example, if you take away the good from the boy is still a boy. The boy doesn't become something else because he's not a good boy anymore. He's still a boy. The subject doesn't change. Similarly, Prabhupada explains that Krishna's transcendental form is the eternal Satchidananda form, is the subject. And when Krishna descends into this material world, he also assumes the Virat Rupa. And this Virat Rupa is compared to that adjective for the subject. So when it is said that Krishna left his body, he actually left his Virat Rupa. But that didn't change the subject or Krishna's transcendental form. That remained. In fact, Prabhupada explains that in that transcendental form, all the numerous expansions of Krishna were amalgamated. They all rested in Krishna. And then they disintegrated, Prabhupada says, back after Krishna's departure. They went into their respective planets again. Very amazing purport by Prabhupada in the third canto. In the same reference that he gives here in this purport. So he leaves behind the Virat Rupa. And that doesn't affect his original transcendental form. That remains. So all this is happening by a display of the Lord's illusory potency. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in this connection, tells a story that one time there was a magician who came to the court of a king, and he was demonstrating his magic. So there was a valuable diamond necklace in front. So he said, "O king, just see now, your precious diamond necklace, it is gone." And he made it disappear by his magic tricks, in right in front of the king's eyes. There were some gold coins. "My dear king, now just see, these gold coins will not be there anymore." And even as everybody was watching, the gold coins disappeared. Then there were some valuable clothes. They also disappeared. And the magician didn't stop there. Then he called the king's relatives, like his brothers and his children and grandchildren, made them disappear one after the other, in front of the very eyes of the king. And he made his own family members disappear as well, the magician. And then he entered into the fire, destroyed himself. Now he's performing his magic tricks. He didn't actually do it. But the king is seeing this, because this is the display of his magic. And actually the magician disappears and goes home. And after 3 days, he sends one of his daughters to the king with that diamond necklace, the gold coins, the clothes, and all the family members of the king. Here they are. It was only a magic trick. So now please award us a remuneration that you may think befitting. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, if an ordinary magician can do a trick like this of dying or of things disappearing, why cannot Krishna do the same when he appears and when he disappears? So Krishna's appearance and disappearance from this world is a display or an exhibition of the mystic potency, his illusory potency, meant to deceive worldly-minded people who have no faith. So the 11th canto, we hear that Krishna creates this material world, enters into it like a magician or an actor on stage, performs some magic or performs some pastimes, and then leaves by his own magical tricks. But the devotees of the Lord are not deceived. Just like the relatives of the magician understand what's going on, even though the king may not understand what's going on. So they are not deceived or bewildered. So similarly, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvatah. So it is only the devotees who tatvatah, or in truth, understand the divine nature of Krishna's appearance and disappearance. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments?
Yes. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
In the translation, Prabhupada translates as Krishna going back into his original position. Now, when he says original position, does it mean as a baby or Krishna's original position?
As a two-armed Lord. Krishna's eternal position in the spiritual world, of course, is in the Kaishora form, as an adolescent youth. But nevertheless, he refers to Krishna as being in the two-armed form, because Vishnu is four-armed and Krishna is two-armed. Any other question or comment? Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yes, Adikesh.
He said that in the purport it says that you should not see a devotee by his caste, and or a guru should not be seen as an ordinary person. But sometimes when introduced, we talk about their previous life, and so is it proper or it should?
Well, just in order to impress upon people that they're also just like you and they are doing devotional service, so you also can do devotional service. So, just from the point of view of a little preaching, it's not with the idea of making a distinction according to caste and creed. What is meant in terms of this Narakiya Buddhi is that you say, oh, this is a Shudra Vaishnava, this is a Brahman Vaishnava, or that is a Gujarati Vaishnava, that is a Punjabi Vaishnava. And to make a distinction and, you see, discriminate on that ground. You may recognize these differences because they exist. Somebody speaks Gujarati, somebody speaks Punjabi. It's existing, it's a difference. But you don't discriminate on that basis. Their identity ultimately is they are Vaishnavas. So we see devotees from that point of view. That is the point. Okay? All right. Yes, one last question over there.
Krishna Maharaj. Now regarding Krishna and the Vishnu form you talk. So Vishnu form is four-handed, and we accept all personalities of Godhead as supreme personality of Godhead. But at the same time, we restrict other personalities in certain aspects. That we say that now, I heard that the Vishnu form is four-handed, and now sometimes we say that Krishna plays flute, but Vishnu doesn't play flute. So in certain aspects, we other personalities, now other Ram and all of the other personalities, we give certain restrictions, and Krishna we accept as the supreme personality of Godhead. So how to understand that the other personalities are supreme personality of Godhead, at the same time we are giving certain restrictions or limitations?
Just like when a man is at home, he can play with his child, child will climb on his shoulders, the man can crawl on the floor, the child will be sitting on his back, and he may be watching the television, he may be doing so many things at home, he's so free in his conduct. When he goes to the office, his activities get restricted. In the office, you will not see him crawling on the floor. You will not see him doing so many other things, lying down on the bed and sleeping. But is he the same person? Yes, he's the same person. Then why is he restricted in the second case? Because that's the role he's playing. The person is the same. But now he's playing the role of a person in the office. So he has to act according to the office role. When he's at home, then he's free. So Krishna is God at home. And Vishnu is God in the office. And other places like Dwarka, Mathura are somewhat in between. So it's the same Supreme Lord in Tattva. But the mood is different. The purpose or activities may be slightly different. So Krishna in Vrindavan plays the flute. For example, the person living at home may be fond of playing some musical instrument. But he will not play that instrument in his office. Similarly, Krishna plays the flute in Vrindavan. But then Garbhodakshaya Vishnu or Karanodakshaya Vishnu will not play the flute because they are performing a different function, even though they are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The difference being that Krishna can expand himself into all these personalities and they all coexist simultaneously. But we cannot do that. If the man is at home, then he is not in the office. If he is in the office, he can't be at home at the same time. But for Krishna, he just expands himself into multiple personalities who are still one. And all these are the Supreme Personalities of Godhead. Okay? Hare Krishna.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Premanande.